नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from the fourth canto, the 25th chapter. The name of the chapter is The Characteristics of King Puranjan. We're reading verse 8. Ete tvam pratikashyante. Smaranto vaishashantava. Saparetam mayakutaish. Chindantyuti tamanyava. Ete tvam sam pratikshante smaranto vaishashantava. And I can't see the book. Samparetam mayakutaish chindantyutitamanyava. Ete tvam sapratikshante smaranto vaishashantava sampretam ayakutaish chindantyutitamanyava. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All these animals are awaiting your death so that they can avenge the injuries you have inflicted upon them. After you die, they will angrily pierce your body with iron horns. Purport. Narada Muni wanted to draw King Prachinibharishat's attention to the excesses of killing animals in sacrifices. It is said in the Shastra that by killing animals in a sacrifice, one immediately promotes them to human birth. Similarly, by killing their enemies on a battlefield, the Kshatriyas who fight for the right cause are elevated to the heavenly planets after death. In Manusamhita, it is stated that it is necessary for a king to execute a murderer so that the murderer will not suffer for the criminal acts in his actions in his next life. On the basis of such understanding, Narada Muni warns the king that the animals killed in sacrifices by the king wait him at his death in order to avenge themselves. Narada Muni is not contradicting himself here. Narada Muni wanted to convince the king that overindulgence in animal sacrifice is risky, because as soon as there is a small discrepancy in the execution of such a sacrifice, the slaughtered animals may not be promoted to the human form of life. Consequently, the person performing sacrifice will be responsible for the death of the animal just as much as a murderer is responsible for killing another man. When animals are killed in a slaughterhouse, six people connected with the killing are responsible for the murder. The person who gives permission for the killing, the person who kills, the person who helps, the person who purchases the meat, the person who cooks the flesh, and the person who eats it, all become entangled in the killing. Narada Muni wanted to draw the king's attention to this fact. Thus, animal killing is not encouraged, even in a sacrifice. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivrishesha Sunyavari Paschachade Sitarane Om Aganati Mirandasya Aganan Gana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karativachalam Pangam Langayate Grim Yat Kripa Tvam Aham Bande Shri Guru Dinatanam Vanshakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this particular verse and purport especially, there's an emphasis being placed on responsibility. Narada Muni, first of all, has taken responsibility for Pachini Bari. Sometimes we understand that a person is going through their life kind of minding their own business or thinking that their business is not interfering with anybody else's business. They just kind of go by day by day, accumulating karmic reactions which ultimately will hurt them. And we allow it to happen. Prabhupada was actually quite incredulous that he heard from his disciples that in New York, if someone was getting hurt on the road, like hit or beaten or raped even, that no one would take any action. Everybody would just keep walking by. Because the feeling was, well, first of all, it doesn't have anything to do with me. And second of all, what if I get in trouble? I might suffer some reaction. But the fact is that taking responsibility is a glorious event if the responsibility is taken for the proper purpose. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in this, in relation to this section of the Bhagavatam, that when a pure devotee takes responsibility for someone, in other words, takes someone as his disciple, he's basically saying to Krishna, this one's mine. I'll take care of this one. This one is my responsibility. I'll take care of him. And then from that moment he becomes obligated to guide that jiva on the path back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada often mentioned that even beyond this lifetime that obligation is there, right? We have the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur in Chintamani, and it's said that his spiritual master actually appeared in the body through the words of a prostitute in order to wake him up, because he was totally missing the point of human life. He had achieved so much wealth and so much prestige and so much power because of his birth and his family, but he was wasting it all, and he was totally absorbed in this woman. So much so, we know that he went through so much difficulty in order to see her, even on the night of his father's funeral. And then, when he actually came in contact with her, what he heard from her was quite surprising to him. And so much surprising that it actually woke something in him, something stirred in his heart. And he became inspired to take up seriously the path of Krishna consciousness. Although he suffered some setbacks in his sojourn back to Godhead, still he achieved darshan of Krishna, a very intimate darshan of Krishna, by the mercy of his spiritual master. And Prabhupada used to speak to us, he would say, don't make me come back. Sometimes devotees would ask him, Prabhupada, are you going to come back life after life and help me out, you know, if I blow it? And Prabhupada would say, don't make me come back. I'm obligated. As long as you're following, I'm obligated to come back. But if you're serious, if you practice Krishna consciousness carefully, then I guarantee you that at the end of this life, you'll go back to Godhead. And then I don't have to also come back. I don't have to take this trouble. So by the mercy of the pure devotee, he takes responsibility for the living entity, and helps him on his path back to Godhead. So we have here Narada Muni and previously Lord Shiva. We see also in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that even Srimati Radharani herself sent Gopakumar, okay, like there's this Brahmin down there, and he's wandering around, he doesn't really understand the purpose of life, would you please go down there and help him out? Would you please take the position of his spiritual master? And Gopakumar was happy to do that, happy to leave the spiritual world and come to this material world in order to assist a jiva in his sojourn back to Godhead. So merciful is the pure devotee. Prabhupada also, he left Vrindavan. We all want to come to Vrindavan. Sometimes I hear from devotees, they don't want to leave Vrindavan. I don't want to leave Vrindavan, I just want to stay here. But Prabhupada was here. He was in this wonderful place, Radha Damodar Temple, even before that Vamsi Gopal Temple we heard yesterday. He had so much simplicity in his life, right? No hassles. Even Vrindavan at that time was much simpler. Everybody was worshipping Krishna in a much simpler way. No honking horns, no screeching rickshaws, no buildings going up all over the place. Not television, not neon signs. I was actually shocked the other night. I went into Lohi Bazaar. I've only been there once since I've been here. Twice. And in the evening, I never go in the evening, but somehow this time I was there after dark and I saw neon signs. I was like, what? Maybe I made a wrong turn somewhere. I wound up in Delhi. So the change in Vrindavan, but Prabhupada was here when Vrindavan was pristine. The peacocks were there and the parrots were everywhere and there was vast expanses of forest. I remember Bhurshan Prabhu used to take us walking looking for Nilgai, right where all these buildings are right now. But Prabhupada left that situation and he came to the west, to New York, to San Francisco, to so many places. He came to take responsibility for following the order of his spiritual master, which was to preach in the West. And then once taking up that order, those of fortunate souls who came to Prabhupada and said, okay, what do I do next? You know, now I've taken a galabjiman and I'm hooked. I've eaten some halva and I see your persona and I want to know more. What do I do next? Then Prabhupada took responsibility for those souls. So much so that he worked tirelessly right up until his last breath, translating his books, giving us instructions, so many letters. Could you imagine if there was email at the time, what would have been... But he didn't even do that, just so many letters, so many conversations, always present for the opportunity to preach. So that's one level of responsibility. So then we think, okay, well, the spiritual master takes responsibility, and if I listen, if I hear, then everything will happen automatically. Sometimes we hear that in the Bhagavad Gita, there's this purport I'm about to speak on, maybe tomorrow, that says, you know, if you practice Krishna consciousness, then all the other processes of knowledge happen automatically. Sounds good, right? It's like a car. In America, we drive automatic cars. I don't know, think they have them here. Everything is manual shift. But in America, you just put it in drive. The car shifts through all the gears by itself. You don't have to shift any gears. Just sit there. It'll happen, right? You can put the car on cruise. You don't even have to put your foot on the brake and the gas. The brake, yes, but not the gas. It just kind of goes. So this idea that things happen automatically, it feels good. I don't have to do anything. But really, Puccini Barishat is about to get the lesson, the clear instruction from his spiritual preceptor. It doesn't quite happen that automatically. You have to make the right choices, and you have to take responsibility. So this is another level of responsibility, the responsibility that the living entity has to take for his own spiritual progress. It's not so automatic that I just keep my ears open, my hearing aids on, and then everything happens automatically. Maybe I even just have to chant my rounds, or I just have to follow the four regular principles. But that's just not enough, because the material energy is not passive. The material energy is an active participant in our lives. She's constantly endeavoring to take us away from the path of spiritual, to test our determination to go back to Godhead. And the facility is given by Krishna and Sadhu and Shastra for us to go back to Godhead, but we have to take up the path. We have to take it up. And we not only have to take it up mechanically, we have to take it up enthusiastically. We have to take it up with determination. We have to practice it even when it's hard, even it's, when it's difficult. This is one of the pokes or the difficulties in taking responsibility, that it's not always easy. And Prabhupada used to get so angry because people in the West, quote, civilization, they would never take responsibility for anything, right? He used the example of abortion, how a man and a woman, they come together and they have some union, and then from that union a child comes. But a child is such a pain in the neck, right? You have to work so hard and make so much money, and you have to provide education and clothing and shelter and food for so many years. I testify, my daughter just turned 40. And still there are obligations. The obligations don't go away, even at 40 years old. So the responsibility is such a burden. Let's just kill the child. So much easier, right? You just get an abortion, it takes a few seconds, and then you don't have any responsibility. You can have sex life and not have the responsibility that comes with it. But does it really work that way? Is that really, is that conscious of all the ramifications? So here, Narada is helping Puccini Barishat to become conscious of the results of his activities. This is just one short part. He'll go through a whole elaborate, many chapters in the Bhagavatam. It takes a lot to get many chapters in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a coveted book. You can't just, you know, do nothing and get into the Bhagavatam. Five chapters in the Bhagavatam is a lot of space in this holy book dedicated to this instruction of Narada to Puccini Barishat and to all of us. To everyone who reads this narration, what are the ramifications for your activity? If you know that you're going to take responsibility for what you do, then it would make sense that you would know the consequences of what you do. It's logical, right? Someone asks you to invest some money, you go through great pains. Someone asks you to invest a little money, huh? Even a little money. Then, proportionate to the money, we do some research, right? We don't just give the guy money. We make sure that it's a good deal, we have a good interest rate, and there's papers signed that make sure that I'm going to get the money back with interest, and that whatever it is that I'm investing my time or my energy in, it's a good cause, it's a good reason. I don't want to waste my time. Why should I waste my time, right? So we make effort to find out the consequences. But someone asks us to invest our life in spiritual life, then also we should become very aware of the consequences of doing it and of not doing it. Because if we only look at the prayas, at the immediate result of our action, it may not look so bad not to take up spiritual life. You know, when the Prabhupada often tells that story of the sage who gave these benedictions to four different people, and to the brahmachari, the person who was undergoing severe austerity for spiritual life, he said, better you die immediately. Huh? Because when you're living, your life is very austere. And at the end, you'll reap some benefit, so better you die immediately. And to the prince, he said, better you never die. Because now you're having a good time. Huh? You're getting lots of women, you have lots of money, you're having fun. Great. But at the end of your life, then you're going to go to hell. It won't be so much fun. So if we don't know the consequences of our actions, then we wind up in a very precarious state. And if we do truly understand the consequences of our action, then we should consider very carefully as we make our choices in life. Because really that's the part we play. That's the responsibility we take. What is it that we desire? When you make your prayer, what do you pray for? Right? If you consider, if you go around the room here and you ask, when you pray, what do you pray for? Do you pray for money, wealth, good looks, a nice wife? What is it that I want more than I want anything else? More than I want anything else, because that core desire, the desire that anchors us to the material world or the spiritual world, is the core desire. Do I want to go back to Godhead? Do I want spiritual life? Do I want to follow, to take responsibility, to follow the path, Mahajanayena Gataksapanta, the path laid out by the Mahajans, by Srila Prabhupada? Do I want to follow that path and walk steady on it? Vyasikatmikabud here, that my intelligence has to be fixed with determination on that path, that I never fall this way, I never fall that way, I never think, well, maybe I'll just take a detour, I'll go, I'll hang out over here for a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, maybe a few lifetimes. So I have to be fixed in determination to walk the path of the Acharyas, and in order to do that, I really have to constantly remind myself and take advantage of the facility that Srila Prabhupada is giving us for understanding the consequences of my behavior. If I don't take that seriously, the consequences of my behavior, then I'll forget and I'll be lulled into a state of stupor. State of stupor, that I'll do things not considering what the ultimate result of those things will be. And so here, Pachini Bari, he was thinking, I'm a good guy. I'm a karma kandi. He wasn't thinking necessarily in those words, but I'm doing it according to the instruction of the Vedas. And by following these rules and regulations, I'll become rich. I'll become famous, I'll become happy, I have a nice wife, everything will go well for me, everything is going well for me. Look at my kingdom. I have a big kingdom and I'm very well situated. And I have a nice family, nice wife, I'm very well situated. But Narada Muni is telling you here, it looks good now, but look into the sky and what do you see? You see, by Narada's mercy, you see all the living entities, the animals that you've sacrificed for your sense gratification. And the one thing that we don't often hear about any kind of karmic kandi activity is that if there's the slightest mistake, if there's the slightest mistake, if one word is pronounced wrong, and I hate to say it, but we pronounce a lot of words wrong. Many, many words wrong. Used to be worse. It's getting better. But it's a wonder that Krishna can even tell we're calling him sometimes. Because the names that we call sometimes barely resemble the names of the Lord. So we often mispronounce. We often make mistakes in our ritual. Prabhupada told one of my godbrothers, whenever you do chaturmas, it becomes chaturmes. So we think we're doing some big austerity, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but it just becomes chatur mess. 4 months of making a mess. When we just could be preaching Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, reading the scripture like we do every other day of the year. Prabhupada didn't want us to just go to the store when there was a sale and see if we could get Krishna because it was on sale, you know. Prabhupada gave us a program that we could take Krishna every single day of our lives, every morning Mangalarti, every morning darshan of their lordships, every day prasadam, every day reading, every day hearing, every day chanting, every day associating with devotees. So we have that facility. We don't need to run to the store when it's on sale and try to get a little bit of punya, because punya is dangerous. If there's some mistake in that attempt, then what do you have? You have these iron-horned animals in the sky waiting to tear you to pieces. Look at King Mirga. He's another example, right? Very, very pious man, very charitable, very kind, giving everything to everybody, gifting. And then he made one mistake. One mistake. One cow out of billions of cows. One cow he gave to two Brahmins. the same cow, to two Brahmins. And so they quarreled over that cow, and they wouldn't accept any other settlement. He offered so many things, so many things, so many things. But they wouldn't accept. And so because of that one error, he became a lizard. Of course, later it was a good thing. But still, if I asked you, would you like to become a lizard for a few thousand years or a few thousand lifetimes? Don't worry about it. At the end, it'll work out okay. But is it all right? Probably not a desirable outcome, right? That I'm looking for that position. So we have so many examples that this path is very treacherous. Prabhupada said there are so many accidents, even on the royal road. What to speak of this other road, this Karmakandi road? So Pachini Barishat was traveling down that road very quickly, very swiftly he was traveling, and he wasn't noticing the road signs. He wasn't noticing that he was getting old. He wasn't noticing that his body was deteriorating. He wasn't noticing that pretty soon my life will be over. And all the glorious things that I've accumulated, what good will they be? Because they'll all disappear. Like Prabhupada, we heard yesterday, all that's left is a list of names. No more mother, no more father, no more palatial building, no more big business, no more fancy anything, no more wife. Even now, no more iPod, no more 4G phone, no more nothing. Huh? It all goes away. It's useless once we exit this body. And then we have to start all over again. Wah! Crying, getting spanked on the bottom, start all over again. So how much it isn't necessary for us to heed these words of the great acharyas, of the pure devotee. So Narada, he's going out of his way. Huh? He's going out of his way. He didn't have to stop. He didn't have to stop either when he saw Ratnakara. Huh? Ratnakara was a hunter. He was robbing people in the woods, trying to support his family. And he made a very significant, we could say, mistake, but actually it wasn't a mistake, that he tried to rob Narada. Some say it was the Saptarishis. Anyway, it was a great devotee. He tried to rob, and they said, we don't have anything. We can't give you anything. But why are you engaged like this, in this terrible activity that you're out here hurting people and threatening people and taking from them? And he said, well, this is the way I've been trained. I don't know anything else. And I have to support my family. This is how I support my family. Oh, well, perhaps you should consider if your family will take a share of this karma that you're accruing. You're doing all this, you say, for your family, but you're getting the karma. You're going to go to hell. Are you willing to accept that total reaction and understand? No, you don't understand. I'm doing my karma for my family, and my family will also share in the karma. Oh, you think so? Well, why don't you go and ask them? Go and ask them if they'll share. So he went to his wife, and he went to his children, and he said, I'm doing this for you. I'm making this great sacrifice. I'm living a hellish life, killing and robbing. Will you share with me the results of this work as you share it with me in my life? In the life, right, you take the money and you get food, you get shelter, you get jewelry, you get so many things. So in life you share. Are you willing to share afterlife? And they all said, no way, Jose. Not going to do it. And so then he had a realization, oh my goodness, this is terrible. I'm doing these activities and I'm going to get the reaction. So he went to Narada and he said, please instruct me what to do. And so he wasn't even pious enough to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. But Narada, and he figured out a system that you can chant Mara, Mara, death, death. But just chant that and focus on it, and chanting Mara, 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 Mara. He developed this chanting of the holy name of Ram. And by doing so, he became so purified, he actually became Valmiki, as we know him, because, anyway, that's another story, but he actually became Valmiki. So by the mercy of the pure devotee, a glimpse into the future. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did for us. We were going along enjoying ourselves, so we thought, living a life, an animalistic life. And Prabhupada points out that the whole society really is living in an animalistic life. But most people, they don't want to know about it. They don't want to hear about it. They're having a good time. They don't want to hear about it. Prabhupada tells the story of Indra. Indra became a pig. And as a pig, he was enjoying himself in the pig's life. You see the pigs out here. You wouldn't aspire to that kind of life. But Indra, once he got into it, he was thinking, this is great. I love it out here. I have my sow, and I have my other pigs. I was reading this in Prabhupada's books, and you know the Hindi word for pig is? Sur, huh? So they, in the books they wrote sewer, like, you know, the drain. Anyway, it's the same thing, kind of, in a way, chinta beta beta tattva. But when he became a sewer, he was very enamored by that life. And even when Lord Brahma said, okay, come on, you can go back now to the heavenly planets, the apsaras is waiting for you, you know, you can... Ervasi's there. He said, no, why should I go back? I'm having so much fun here. I have my slop and my stool and my wife and my piglets. So then Lord Brahma had to get a little heavy. He had to arrange for the slaughter of some of his family members. So then he could realize, oh, the next one will be myself. I better get serious. So Prabhupada intervened in our lives to give us... to give us awareness of what it means to take responsibility for our lives. To understand the ramifications of just forgetting responsibility and going forward haphazardly, just trying to enjoy material existence. Just trying to be a body and enjoy through the body. He gave us the intelligence. He gave us the intelligence or the ability to tap in to our intelligence and use our intelligence in Krishna's service. He wanted us to take responsibility not only for ourselves. Srila Prabhupada took responsibility for us, and we're grateful for that. But how do we show our gratitude? Just like Lord Chaitanya said, he said, I have so many fruits of love of God, but I can't distribute them all by myself. It's not possible. So I need your help to help me distribute them. So Prabhupada also needed our help. He needs our help, not past tense, present tense. And I sense very often, especially when I come to Vrindavan, that we're perhaps a little less inclined towards that mood of assisting Srila Prabhupada, and a little more inclined than in previous times to enjoy ourselves. To enjoy transcendentally, to enjoy the holy name, to enjoy reading, to enjoy Ram Ram, Krishna Krishna, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. So, but this was never Prabhupada's mood. Not that it's not enjoyable to chant japa or to read the scripture, that's also certainly there and we should take relish, but we take this enjoyment and we should feel compassion. We should feel compassion for the people who aren't enjoying this understanding, who aren't aware that in the sky there are iron-horned animals going to pierce them birth after birth, that if they take the life of another living entity, they will suffer, that if they live a life just dedicated to sense gratification, they will suffer afterwards, and they will take birth again and again, and there's no guarantee that they'll continue in any positive way. They will go down in a very hellish situation. So the devotee, by the mercy of another devotee, he sees that, he understands that, and he feels in his heart so much compassion. Prabhupada felt so much compassion that he was willing to take great risks, so much compassion that he was willing to go out of his way in so many ways. in order to facilitate our spiritual advancement. And he wanted us to take responsibility for his mission, to help his mission push forward into the future and bring as many people to the lotus feet of Krishna, as Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada, as possible. So we have to be very, very careful. Then we may think, well, this responsibility I have, it's a heavy responsibility, and I'm willing to take it, good or bad, but I don't know how. I don't know what to do. I have no qualification. But Prabhupada also felt he had no qualification. If you read his prayer, Makini Bhagavad Dharma, when he was coming to America, he was saying, I have no qualification. I don't even know why you've sent me here. These people, they're completely absorbed in passion and ignorance. What am I going to do about it? I'm fallen, I'm insignificant, but I have the order of my spiritual master on my head, so it must be for some reason you've sent me here, and by your will, I can become intelligent. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, mitakshmite jnanam apoanam cha, that from him comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So Krishna can give us knowledge if we open up to the adhikar, if we allow ourselves to have the adhikar of hearing that intelligence, receiving that intelligence, and understanding that intelligence. Because that intelligence, we have to become able to hear it. Krishna's in our heart, and he speaks, but Krishna in our heart, he whispers. And our senses are screaming, I want this, I want this, go here, do this, give me this, give me this, give me. If all we're hearing is the screaming of our senses and our mind, then we won't hear the instruction of the Supersoul. We won't be able to be determined enough to take responsibility and follow or help Srila Prabhupada achieve the success that Prabhupada wanted, that the whole world would be moved by the process of Krishna consciousness. Maybe everybody won't take up Krishna consciousness. It's possible. Not everybody will take it up. But at least everybody can begin their journey. Huh? Everybody can hear the holy name. Everybody can take some prasadam. Everybody can begin their journey on the path back to Godhead by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada if we are willing to take responsibility. So this idea here that we're reading in this purport and this verse is an indication of the way that we have to think. Because Narada Muni could have easily just kept walking. Right? He didn't have to go back to Pachinibari and try to change his life around. He didn't have to. And so many times we read, Narada saw Dhruva Maharaj, and he thought, oh, maybe I'll help this kid out, right? I'll give him some mantra he can chant, so he won't just get into this desire for a big kingdom, and he'll become purified in the process. So many times we read about the devotees intervening in the lives of devotees, of people who didn't know where they were headed. So we have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He intervened in our lives and we didn't know where we were headed. But unfortunately for us, the tendency is to slip back again and again, to slip back into this forgetfulness, to kind of get lost on the road and to not know the direction. So we have to constantly be checking the road signs. We constantly have to be checking, are we reading every day? Are we chanting every day? Are we chanting well? Are we hearing? Huh? Or are we just schnick-schnick ramming while we're doing 10 other things? Huh? Or are we taking advantage of the process seriously? Do we have the desire in our heart to go back to Godhead? Or do we have some other desire and we're here because this is a little comfortable? I remember I was talking to the devotees in Juhu many years ago, and they were telling me that so many boys come to the Juhu temple, and they just want, you know, what did they call it, a cot and a hot, a bed and a hot meal. So they were making, I don't know if they still do, but they were having the boys sleep out on the veranda for 3 months. They would have to sleep out on the veranda, engage in service, before they could actually come in to the ashram. because they had to see, are you really serious? Or is it just that you want a cot and a hut? You just want a place to sleep and a hot meal? Or maybe it's easier for you here, and then when you get back on your feet, then you'll go back out into the material world. Or even worse, maybe even while you're here, you'll try and make some compromise that I can be 1 foot in the material world and 1 foot in the spiritual world, and do as little service as I can get away with without getting kicked out. But this is not the mentality of someone who's taking serious responsibility for their spiritual life. We really need to overcome this tendency to save ourselves from any kind of inconvenience. Because the road to spiritual life, austerity is necessary. Prabhupada used to say, spiritual life and material sense enjoyment, they don't go well together. They don't go well together. So austerity is necessary. Not that we have to do artificial austerity. We just have to live the life of a devotee seriously. That's austerity enough. Just take up that austerity. You don't have to stand on 1 foot and go in the fire and the heat and go in the cold and the winter. That kind of austerity, you don't have to throw your food on the floor and eat with your hands behind your back once a day. That kind of austerity we don't need to do. We need steadiness and determination over time, that we are constantly fixing our mind on the goal of human life and understanding that the way to achieve that goal is by in fact pleasing the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is pleased the more people we take with us. The more we're willing to work hard to satisfy his utmost desire to give Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible, the more Srila Prabhupada is pleased, and the more we become spiritually advanced. That's how we make spiritual advancement. That's the secret of success. And then we have that nice verse I'll end with, that in the Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada used to quote all the time, Tatenu Kampam Shishumikshamano, that if I go through my life and I just tolerate the inconveniences that come in this life, and the inconveniences that I'm bringing with me because in my past life I was very stupid. Huh? And maybe in this life also I was very stupid. Maybe in this life I'm still very stupid. And I do things which bring bad reaction, but I can't blame that on anybody except myself. It's my foolishness that has caused these reactions. So let me just tolerate them and go on serving Krishna. And just go on serving Krishna. And then by doing that, I become eligible for liberation. The connection with Krishna becomes my right. Huh? My right. So this is the very important message which will be delivered very, very strikingly for several more chapters now in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's interesting also to note that the way Narada Muni is going about this, at the very beginning, these first two verses, yesterday's and today, well not yesterday's, but whenever they did verse 7 and 8, Narada begins by instilling a little bit of fear in Pachini Bari, because Pachini Bari is having a grand time, you know, he's just like enjoying himself to the max. So a little bit of awareness that maybe what you're doing is not going to give you all the pleasure you're looking for. There's a little suffering head here. It's going to be nasty. So that makes us think, okay, well, I don't really like that idea, so how can I change it? And then to craft this wonderful allegory. So this is a message to us as preachers that not one way of preaching works for everybody. Huh? We have to be careful that when we preach, when we give Krishna consciousness, we give Krishna consciousness to the person we're talking to in a way that they will see its relevance to them. And this is the job of an expert preacher. Huh? Prabhupada came to the West. He never seen anything like what he saw when he came to New York in San Francisco. Never saw a hippie, never smelled a hippie, never was around people who had such a low class existence. Didn't follow anything, even their own rules they didn't follow. They didn't follow anything. So Prabhupada had no comprehension, no ability, no reference for such degraded life forms. But still, he thought and prayed, you see, in his own prayers, he prayed that Krishna would give him the intelligence and guide him, and he crafted a wonderful way, many wonderful ways, of giving Krishna consciousness to us. Prasadam, all the time prasadam, and chanting Hare Krishna, so many instruments he gave us, so many things in a very systematic way, Sunday love feast, even the words he used. He did things that he never would have done in Vrindavan. He would have never done them in Vrindavan, but he did them for us to give us Krishna consciousness in a manner which we could receive, and which we did receive, and which inspired us to do almost anything to bring people to Prabhupada's Hare Krishna movement. So as preachers, we also have to do that. That we are very sensitive to the people we're talking to. That we understand what their needs are, and we give Krishna consciousness in a way that they can receive it. That was Prabhupada's expertise, and that's his request to us. So I'll stop there. Hare Krishna. And if there's any question, maybe I can answer. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Is there a microphone somewhere?
Thank you. Thank you for class, Mataji. You spoke about Srila Prabhupada's mood. Can you describe a little bit how, like, he built Vrindavan for us to come once a year or something, to get inspiration and go back to preach? Can you talk about that?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada, definitely his mood was, of course, some devotees have to stay here and do the seva. It's big preaching. But at the same time, Prabhupada encouraged us, don't stay in Vrindavan more than 3 days unless you have specific service. That's what he told us. He told us, don't stay in Vrindavan for more than 3 days unless you have some specific service. He never encouraged us to hang out here. Hanging out here has serious ramifications. For us, because we get into a different, maybe the wrong consciousness, trying to enjoy Krishna, trying to enjoy the Dham with a mundane tinge. But it also takes away from Prabhupada's ultimate mission, that he wanted us to be where we were preaching. Because if we're all here, or we're all in Mayapur, who's going to be preaching there, right? And who will come here? So many of the devotees that come here, so much of the Shakti of Krishna Balaram Mandir lies in the Westerners that come here. All the residents, they come to see the kirtan at night because they want to see the Angrezis dancing like crazy. And they want to see, they're enamored by the fact that we're taking up Krishna consciousness. And I can't tell you how many times I've been asked, how long have you been wearing a sari, or why do you wear a sari, or what made you give up, you know, everything you had? And so who's going to come here if everyone's here? Everybody, we've got to be there preaching. We've got to be telling this people to come to Krishna consciousness, come visit Vrindavan, get enlivened, and understand this process of Krishna consciousness, and then go back and tell others. This is what Prabhupada created this for, really. He created Mayapur for that also. And he said, when we get old, we can stay, especially in Mayapur. He said, when we get old, we can stay. So I'm almost old, but not yet. I still got a few good years, I think. Maybe tomorrow. Prabhupada said old means how close you are to death. And no one knows how close you are to death. So you may be older than me. Prabhupada told that to Tamal Krishna Goswami. He said, you may be older than me because we don't know which one of us will die first. So in that sense, I may be very old, but right now I don't feel that way, so I still got a few years left. So Prabhupada wanted us to do this. This is why he gave us the Dham, and he gave us very careful instructions about living in the Dham. If you ask the devotees who were here at the beginning, there were people hanging out in Lohit Bazaar in the shops. There weren't people sitting out here in front of Bihari Lal drinking chai. We never would even think of doing that. Even swimming in Radhakund, Prabhupada told us, just on your head, some reverence. Don't go, it's not a swimming pool. You can't go there and play like the fish. So he wanted us to have a mood of reverence, a mood of respect for the Dham, that not to take it lightly, and in that way to imbibe the spiritual potency of the Dham so that we could take it back to the West and give it. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What is the fate of the mother and father who abort the child and the doctor who aborts the child?
The fate is that they will take birth in the womb and never come out. There used to be one program called Radio Ram. I don't know if you've ever, any of you have ever heard it, but somebody, one of my godbrothers, made this series of commercials, like TV commercials, Radio Ram. And one of them was this, there's a game, a TV game, where you have to choose one of three doors and you get the wealth that's on the other side. So this abortion doctor, he was asked, you choose any door. But the fact of the matter is that any door, the situation is hellish. Just like Puccini Bari, he's going to suffer by being torn apart by the animals. So in the same way, if we participate in abortion, I'm glad you said the mother and father, not just the mother, then we will have that same fate, to be put in a womb and never come out, never see the light of day, be killed within the womb. In America, there's these billboards speaking against abortion there by the Christians, and one of them is a little baby saying, I'm really glad my parents didn't do that to me. You know, so it's a very, very horrible fate. Very horrible fate. And it's born of the desire just to enjoy without consequences. To just take the enjoyment, what is that half a hen logic? That I just want the part of the hen that gives the eggs, but I don't want to have to feed the hen. So I cut the head off, but then I don't get the eggs either. So if we engage in sinful activity, we get the reaction. And we have to take that reaction. That reaction comes along with the sin. And that's a very serious sin, abortion. Okay, I'll end there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.